And welcome everyone to our Peace Alliance Hope Story Circle. We really welcome you. It's been a challenging week for this country, and we're really grateful to have the time to spend together today. The Peace Alliance is our mission is to empower civic action toward a culture of peace. We've been holding these Peace Hope Story Circles since the middle of March in 2020, and I think we're going to continue for another round. So we are grateful for all of you being here today. And I'm going to invite Liz to introduce our special guest. And I'm unmuting you now, Liz.
Thanks. Eileen, I don't even know what to say. And if there's anything I don't say that you want to add, you can. I met Eileen when we were roommates together in Fordham. She's one of the wisest, most beautiful women I know. She's a minister and just a beautiful voice for, I just want to say, awakening wisdom and tapping into what is called for in the moment. She's a person I turn to regularly. When I just need someone who's spiritually attuned and practical and all of those good things together. So it ended up that she was our guest today. We had booked her a few weeks ago. And I look forward to the conversation that she's going to kind of lead us on and facilitate. And yeah, Eileen, you can tell us what you want us to know and start us off. Can you unmute her, Terry?
Okay.
Beautiful.
I think we're good. I apologize in advance. My computer did the circling thing of you will not get anywhere right as I was trying to join. So I'm on my phone and I've never used Zoom on my phone. So Terry will mute me and unmute me. I had hoped actually to be able to see all of your faces because that's what happened last week. But now I can just see Liz, which is a great face to see. So that's helpful. We talked last week at the end of the Hope Story Circle, and I had so many different ideas about where this could go. And then the police lynched George Floyd, and our week changed. And I am very aware, and I cannot see any of you, but I'm very aware that those of us who are leading today are white women, and only white women. But I think that we all come to this world and this work from where we are, and that's where we are today. And I thought that the work that we do is both big, that if we want peace and justice, that we need to dismantle the systems that are not built for that and reassemble them or build them to what we want the world to be. And at the same time, we work in the place where we are. And so, as we begin today, I want us to think about the place that we're at, to ground ourselves in that. So those of you who are exhausted, which I imagine is many of us, either from isolation and pandemic, or carrying the pain of what is happening across our cities, across the nation. I'm in Canada, but we are not immune to it here. And so to just take a moment. So get comfortable, however it is that looks for you. I want you to think about the land that is where you are. So if you are close to it, maybe you're even sitting outside, take your shoes off and put your feet on that grass or that dirt. If you're in an apartment and you have good imagination, think about the ground that is under your building, the earth that is there. Or if it's easier, think about the nearest place that's green or has dirt. And just think about that earth that has been there and will be there. It's been there long before we were here, and it will be long after we are. And while it changes, there are things that remain the same. Take a moment to think about the people who have gone before you, the people in the place where I live, the original inhabitants came about 14,000 years ago across the Bering Strait. And they were hunters and gatherers. So think about the people who lived without any of the buildings and structures, but who lived and loved and had friends and family. And then the place that I live became the place where First Nations developed, and primarily where I am, the Searcy, the Beaver, the Blackfoot, the Cree. So I invite you to think about the people and the peoples who were in the place where you are, as they lived and loved and built community and formed relationships and grieved and carried on. And then where I live is Treaty 6 territory, which means that there are people from all over the world here, and we are in supposedly a treaty relationship with all of the nations that were here before. So the Cree and the Blackfoot, Métis, the Nakota Sioux, the Iroquois, the Diné, the Ojibwe, the Salto, the Anishinaabe, the Inuit, and others. And I think about all of those people who came, who met with one another, who fought with one another, who traded with one another, who formed relationships with one another, who worked together to live better together. I think about the place that I live as it currently is constituted, came to be to provide housing for people who worked in refineries outside of the city. And I think about those families that moved here, trying to build a better life for their families. And they lived, and they loved, and they had friends and family, and they worked to build a better community. And as you sit where you are, and the peoples who would have been in the place you are different, I invite you to think about all of the ones that you know of, and all of the places they came from, and all of what they were trying to build. Invite you to think about mothers and fathers and grandparents and aunts and uncles and children and nieces and nephews and friends who are family. And as you sit in that place of thinking about all of those people, I invite you to think about the people that you are connected to right now. The elders, those who have wisdom, who when they speak, you listen. The troublemakers, those who are on the edges, who also cause you to listen. The peacemakers, those who find a way for everyone to belong. The circle builders, who open the circle wider and wider so that everyone has a place. The children, in whom we see hope and future. Think about the people that you love and the people who love you. And as we stand on the shoulders of the ones who came before us, and we live and love with the people we are with, we remember that we are the shoulders that the next group will stand on. That there will be more who come after us, who live, who love, who work for a better life for themselves, for their families, for their communities, and who hope for a world that looks better than the one they're in now. So breathe all of that vision in. Ground yourself in the place that you are and the relationships you hold. So I hope that did for you what it just did for me. And I have to look at my list to see what's next because I really can't see anything. This week has been exhausting and heartbreaking and overwhelming. And I am white. And so in the midst of heartbreaking and exhausting and overwhelming, I have a safety that comes with my skin. But I am in this place. And if I think about the structures that can change, I can think about what work I do in my community, I can think about how I vote, and I can think about great big things that have to change. And when I do that, there are actions I know I can take, but I'm also exhausted. And so if these are circles of hope, I thought I would tell a story of how I find hope right now in my particular place. As I've wrestled with this week, there are different things that have struck me. And one of them is a woman I follow on Facebook posted an African proverb, which so I could find. The child who is not embraced by the village will burn it down just to feel its warmth. The child who is not embraced by the village will burn it down just to feel its warmth. And I think about that proverb in light of the burning that is happening and the cries out. And then I think about my kid. I have two delightful children, one of whom is a grown-up and lives outside and is in another city, but one who is 12 and so lives in my house. And in my house, I'm a minister, as Liz said. My husband's also a pastor. And so our lives get turned upside down fairly frequently without a lot of notice. And so we try to build in for our child a sense of connection, a sense of importance, a sense of ritual, because that grounds us sometimes. And our Friday night ritual is very simple. I make pizza. I live out in Alberta and I grew up in New York, so pizza here just isn't the same. I can't get anything that tastes good, so what I make is the closest I can do. But there is joy for me in the kneading of the dough, in the preparing of this food for my family. And just the ritual of doing that. And then we eat together and it's movie night. And I am usually outvoted in the movies, so I see a lot of Star Wars and other things that would not necessarily be my first choice. But we protect that time. But last night there was a webinar and it was particularly for white people on what do we do? How do we stand up in the midst of racial injustice that goes on and on and on? And so I said to my kid, I need to do this. I know this breaks what we do. And he thought about it. And I was expecting actually, you know, some bargaining on how we could get the movie and pizza at a different time. We did have pizza. But what he said was, well, what can I do? He's 12. He's in lockdown because of COVID. He can't be with anybody. And we talked about it. And in our house, if money comes in, we set it aside. And for kids, it goes, there's money that you can just spend. You don't have to ask anybody, you can just spend it. There's money that you get to spend with your parents' approval. Then there's a portion that goes to savings, and there's a portion that goes for giving, because I believe that it creates a sense of generosity. Even when you have is a dollar, and so 10 cents of that goes to giving. And so this week, we will be looking for organizations that are led by people of color to assist people of color, and he will choose one of those to send his money to, because that's what he can do in this place. And I think that idea of getting attention and not being accepted by the village, that much of the work that I have done in schools, in my community, in my church, has been about how do we make the circle big enough so that everybody is part of it? Because I always work with the people who are on the outside of the circle, the ones right on that border. Those are my people. And making the circle so that everybody is included in it is, I think, what a peaceful world would look like. And the other thing that I think about so that's the big piece, is something that I saw a while ago that says the world will be better when we eat with each other, when we pray with each other, and when we hold each other's children. And I think about some of the powerful times where I have held the children of people who look quite different from me, and who worship different from me, and believe different from me, and speak different from me, and they give me their children to hold. And the same when I have given my children, they're too big to hold that way now, but when they were little, when I handed off my babies, trusting that the other people would care for them as they would care for their own. And so I don't have any great big answers on how we do that, but I think that what we hold is this sense of the larger systems need to be dismantled and changed. They do not serve us, and they hurt so many people, and they privilege people who look like me. And in a world where some people are privileged and some people aren't, that is not a world of justice or peace. It is not what I think a beloved community, to use words that Liz uses all the time, would look like. And we build peace right in the places we are. And so my question is, how do we meet that here? And I think I turn it over to Yelena now.
Thank you, Eileen.
Thank you, Eileen. I am very emotional, and I will try to get to say things, but I know that Terry and Liz will hold if I can't. Yeah, it's really difficult. And I was talking yesterday after our little get together with a friend, and I actually said the word that I'm hopeless. And here I am, you know, part of the place where, you know, we are here to, it's a hope story circle. And this is something that, you know, Liz, Terry and I and Judy kind of really had. And I felt so hopeless last night. So thank you, Eileen, for leading that, because that kind of brought me a more hopeful place. Yeah, I just want to invite us, when we go and share in our small groups today, to really listen. If there is one thing I want to invite us in, is the listening. And just know, if you are the one that often speaks, can you pull back a little and listen? And if you are the one that is often quiet because you don't speak often or your voice is not heard often, please be the one to speak today. And yeah, I think that is the guidance for today for the small group. I think that's what I want to invite us in, more than anything else, deep listening. listen with your heart, with your whole body, with your spirit.
Yelena, would you like me to frame the breakout groups for you?
Please, Liz.
I'm just so thankful. I remember what I'm thinking about with Yelena now, right, is an idea that I had learned about, I'm not a singer, but that when you have a large choir, maybe Terry would know more about this, or a large chorus, everybody can't breathe at the same time, right, because then there'd be a pause in the music. So you take turns breathing, that's what I've been told. And I think it's okay that we're not okay when we're not okay. And I thank you for showing up in that space, because the rest of us can be here to breathe for you, to hold that space for you. And so as we move into the breakout groups, I think the way Eileen framed it was very well, right? Where are you right now just in meeting this moment? Just as we join in the small groups, and we have about 15 minutes to just say, how are you meeting this moment in whatever that moment looks like? And for those of you who are in the United States, and I know there's someone on the call who's from, I don't know if she's still here, from Minnesota, you know, where so much of the unrest is. So I ask you to kind of, as Yelena always says, introduce yourself, tell the people in your group who you are, maybe if you want to tell them something about yourself that you would love for them to know, and then just hear one another deeply in how we're meeting the moment. And Terry, do you want to explain about the groups?
Sure. So for those of you who have not been with us before, I'm going to do something magical with the technology and send everyone an invitation to join a room. It's going to be join breakout room number 1 or 2 or 3. I'm going to do my best so that everyone is in a room with 2 other people, so there are groups of 3 people. You'll have 15 minutes to share and listen to with one another. So be sure that you have time for each person in the room to have that opportunity. As I said, I'm gonna try and make sure everybody's in a room of 3. And if I have a room of 2 and a room of 4, then I might send somebody a second invitation so I can balance it out. So if you get a second invitation, take it. It's a good invitation. If you don't, and you're still just in a room of 2, it didn't work out that way. The numbers aren't right. Just stay with it, all right? And then we'll come back in 15 minutes. I'll give you like a 3-minute warning so you can start to close your time with your group. And then we'll come back and share what's alive at that time. Just share what's alive, what questions, what thoughts you have to share. And we'll have some time together in the larger group. All right, so I'm going to send you to rooms. And there you go. Join your rooms.
I don't know if we lost MJ.
We did. She dropped off early.
I wonder if she's okay.
Welcome back, everyone. So grateful for all of you for being here. We went a little extra long in the breakout sessions because I lost track of time.
We were having a good conversation.
So
it's good to see everyone. So what I wanted to do is we have, you know, a few minutes before our close. We have about 15 minutes before we need to close. So what we wanted to do is invite, if anyone wanted to share what came up very much alive in their group, very much alive for what they wanted to share with the larger group. If you want to just raise your hand, you can either unmute yourself, or we think Terry's not is having issues unmuting people.
Yeah.
So is there someone who wants to kind of raise their hand? And that's why I put my glasses on. I can see you. Who wants to share something? I see Deb.
I found Deb. Okay. Deb? Can you unmute yourself? I'm trying to unmute you and it's not working. There.
Is that working?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, Jen.
Hi. I just thought I wanted to say how effective and revealing the quote of the African proverb is. Could it be repeated again, please?
I'll type it in the chat, but Eileen, you're unmuted. You're welcome to.
The child who is not embraced by the village will burn it down just to feel its warmth.
Thank you.
And thank you, for Terry, for putting that in. Did you want to add anything else, Deb? Or wait, who do I see your hand? I saw Nancy. Yeah, did you want to unmute yourself, Nancy?
I just wanted to share that, you know, I think we're all struggling with what we can do. And one thing we must always remember that we can do is the small things, the very, very small things, the expressions of appreciation. One of the gals in our room, Linda, said she always thanks customer service people on the phone for all that they do. These are our essential workers. And they don't get enough appreciation, not in many ways. So we can do the small things, and we should remember it actually feels good to us too. It helps everybody.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Who else would like to share what came alive for them? Barb is the first hand I saw. If you want to unmute yourself. Barb? Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
I can. We can, yeah.
Okay. My first request is to also repeat the second thing that you said. World will be a better place if we eat with each other. And there was a second one. And the third one was if we hold their children. Can you repeat the mm-hmm. middle?
Yeah. So it's if we eat together, if we pray together,
right.
If we hold one another's children.
Okay. But I will say that this is only my second time joining the circle, and each time, including today, I've met somebody who feels like a kindred soul, a kindred spirit. And I think our sharing was just so incredibly human. It's not like clear and one path. It's got lots of arms and legs to it. And but the person I talked to has a Facebook page that she's had in place for 3 years called The Shift of Heart. And she brings that up as her, she didn't use it as the fallback, but it's something that she's so embedded in to bring hope out of herself that even in the wobbly times like today, this week, she's got that entire group of international people contributing things to A Shift of Heart mm-hmm. Facebook. I was impressed. I was touched by that.
Yeah. Beautiful. Is there someone else?
We have Joan who's raised her hand.
Oh, okay. Joan. I didn't see you, Joan. Sorry.
That's okay. Hi, I'm in Whitefish, Montana. And hold on, let me unmute myself.
You are unmuted. Okay.
Oh, okay. So I can go. Yeah. I was involved 10 years ago with Debbie Strong, who started the campaign for the Department of Peace in Montana and was a statewide organizer. And I'm very political, and I feel like we need to introduce the Department of Peace in the Senate, in the Veterans Committee, and John Tester would be an advocate for that, and I've presented it to his staff. And then I think we just need to start. And then I also think that there's 6 states that are voting on June 2nd, and we need to show up incredibly at the ballot box and show the country that vote by mail works. And then third, I'm a guest teacher at our elementary school where my daughter went 17 years ago. And in Montana, I know all my people of color. I call the 2 of them two of the three yesterday. And, you know, the pain that they felt was so real. And then I had a gal, I administrate Big Sky Rising in Montana, which came out of the Trump win, and there's 6,000 members in the statewide group. And in our Flathead Valley group, there's maybe 700. And this gal got into it on like Russian immigration and proved to me why you're raising money for this other fellow who's raising money for this woman who needs to pay for her lawyer to be legal. And she just didn't get it at all. She's like, well, there's a large Russian immigration, you know, immigrant community here, and show me your numbers that people are discriminated in Montana. And I'm like, get out, you know, like, so white people, I do believe that white people need to take strong action to defend our people of color. And that's all I'll say. And Montana is with all of you. And I just love, this is my first room. And I love the Eat Together, because I really build community, and my daughter believes that also, and hold each other's children. And I'm from New York as well, and we did that in New York. And we all need to continue those actions, you know, because we need to embrace the awfulness of the situation, but we have to figure out a way to live daily safely today and tomorrow through November. And that's going to be very difficult.
Yeah. Thank you, Joan. I just want to appreciate your, you know, longtime awareness of the advocacy of the Peace Alliance. We're an education advocacy and mobilization towards violence reduction, peace building. And there is legislation currently before the House, H.R.
111. Yeah, H.R. 111. So,
right. So you're talking about introducing a Senate bill, which I'm going to put an email in the chat to you. Reach out to Nancy. She's the lead of our Department of Peacebuilding Committee, and let her know who you think would be good in the Senate to approach.
Oh, John Tester. Well, just go to John Tester, tell him you talked to Joan, and he'll go, oh, Joan, there is fish, and it's fine.
I'm going to put her email in the chat. If you could just reach out to her, let her know. She'll be delighted to talk to you about it.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you.
Are there people who haven't had a chance to speak who are feeling very much... like they would like to voice something. Cheryl? I'm trying to keep an eye for everyone.
I'd like to read a poem that I wrote because I think it might help give everyone hope. It's called Shift of Heart. Envision with me, peace seekers, a shift of heart in all people who seek revenge. A shift of heart on each side, in those who hate, and in those who are hated. Imagine with me a day when those who have the power to destroy the world feel a transformational shift in their hearts to save the world. Search with me for all people to understand one another. And if we can't understand one another, may we at least, at the very least, respect one another's differences. Hope with me that each of us finds inner peace, inner love, inner compassion, inner forgiveness. And because of these qualities felt from within, there will and can be a shift of heart offered towards each other. Visualize with me sending a glorious beaming light through and around ourselves, each other, and Mother Earth. Let every living being suddenly feel love, transformation, celebration, tolerance, peace, and may there be a shift of heart within all the people of our precious world.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you for letting me read that.
Thank you.
For someone who hasn't had a chance to speak,
Steve and Mark.
Oh, I thought Itaf as well.
Yeah. Okay, and Steve and Mark, and then Itaf, and then we'll close.
Oh, sorry, we were just applauding.
Oh, okay. All right. That's good.
Just applaud visually.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Steve.
Itav.
Yeah, just what it's come to me, like it's no way to the peace. The peace, it's the way. And this is what gives me a hope. Like I share with the small group about how it's like hard in Palestine and also in the morning in Jerusalem, the police killed young man. He is autism. He is in a special needs and the police kill him. The Israeli police kill the Palestinian man because he thought he have something, he have gun, but he didn't hear him. And this, because I feel the peace, I live in peace. I'm not making peace. I live in peace inside me. And this is really give me the hope. And I feel like supported also when I bring my voice here. And it's give me also the power to continue to do what I'm doing and to believe really in peace. Thank you.
Thank you. Liz?
Yeah. I usually, when I come, I listen to everybody and I think of what I want to say as an ending. And what's coming to me now is I will just share with you by way of closing how I'm meeting this moment. My intention pre-COVID was to be walking, if any of you have ever heard of the Camino de Santiago de Compostela, that was my plan to be embarking on that this week. And so what I decided to do was I'm going to get up every day. It takes about a month. So I have a little over a month till my birthday in July, and I'm going to get up every day. I'm going to walk 10 to 20 miles. And with each step, I'm going to try to walk the world in love and peace, right? With each step, I am love, I am peace. Exactly what you said, Itav, about reminding myself it's not necessarily something I can do before I ground myself in making sure it's who I am, right? So I love that as a closing, right? And I said to my son this morning, he woke up, he texted me at 3 a.m. to say, are you awake? I wasn't, but I came out and I gave him a little piece of advice. And he said, that doesn't help me, Mom. I don't want hippie Mom right now. He said, I want Martin Luther King Mom right now. And so I sat down with him and I went through the beloved community, the steps. And I said, if you have a choice, the best thing is to act from that place of love. I said, but if you're going to love without acting or act without loving, love without acting until you can act from the place of love. Mm-hmm. You know, so Itav, thank you for naming that. Thank you for doing it. So I say what I'm going to send us off with as our, because we are a peace group, because that's who we aim, as you said, not only to act, but to be. I'm going to spend each day grounding myself in the love and then seeing the actions that come up as I can act from that place. I am thankful for all of you. I look forward to connecting next week. And I want to say a special thank you to Terry for always facilitating, for Yelena, my partner in all things beautiful over all these weeks, and to Eileen for having such a willingness to take such a turn in the last moment and meet us with the fullness of her, I want to say, mother love and wisdom. Thank you, Eileen. And thank you, everyone, for being on.
I'm going to unmute everyone to say goodbye. Thanks very much, everyone. We really appreciate your being with us.
Liz, thank you. Can I offer something quickly?
Sure, if you can, of course, as we come up.
Liz, all right, another person. Let's hold each other. Put your hands up and hold each other as children of some other person, that we are holding each other as other people's children. This is exactly what Eileen said. And imagine yourself holding everyone in this group.
Yes.
Oh, thank you,
Tom. I'm holding the children of other people.
Mm. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Tom.
And if everyone wants, just say a hello and goodbye to each other. I thank you always for your presence. Bye.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Christine.
Gratitude, Elena.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.